I used to dread when this gospel would come up, because I think it's one of the most perplexing in the gospel. This story that Jesus tells about the rich man and the steward. I feel like the Lord is helping me slowly to understand it more. But it's a very strange story. We have this rich man, and he has a steward who takes care of his affairs. And the steward, who was supposed to be doing what his master wanted him to do with his money and assets, was reported to the master for having squandered his property. So the steward learns that he's going to lose his job. So he realizes the state that he's in. He doesn't know what he's going to do after having lost this job. So he does something very strange. First of all, the rich man doesn't fire him immediately. So the steward still has some control over his master's assets, which itself is strange. And then what the steward decides to do is also very interesting. He decides that he's going to start writing off the debts of some of his master's debtors. So to this one who owes 100 measures of olive oil, he has the debtor pay 50 up front and writes off the other 50, saving that particular debtor half of his debt. And then to another who owes 100 core of wheat, he has pay 80 up front and then writes off the remaining 20. And presumably the debtors who are getting their part of their debt slashed are very pleased with him. And presumably his master would be very upset with him because, again, in our own logic and way of thinking about things, he's losing his money. So it seems to us that if the steward got in trouble before for dishonestly squandering his money, well, that's only continuing as the dishonesty continues. But yet, that's not what happens. The master is not upset with his steward for acting this way, but rather commends the dishonest steward for acting prudently. It's so interesting why the master's pleased with his stewards having written off the debt of some of his debtors. So this whole gospel that we hear today, and this is one of the major themes in Luke's gospel, it comes up all the time, has to do with wealth and poverty and what we ought to be doing with the goods that God has given us. So for instance, at the end of this passage, we have some of these wisdom sayings of Jesus. He says, "No servant can serve two masters. He'll hate one master and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." And what does that word mammon mean? Well, it can refer to money, but it has to do with stuff. So it could be wealth, assets, property, buildings, business, investments, our 401k, the cash that we have in our wallet. All of this falls under the category of mammon. And Jesus says we can't serve both God and mammon, or stuff, human stuff. We'll hate one and despise the other. So Jesus is really presenting us with a choice then. How are we going to live, and how are we going to treat the money that we have, our assets? So there's a line that Jesus says as he's kind of explaining this parable, but like so often in the gospel, when Jesus gives an explanation of what he just said, you end up being more confused than when you started. The explanation seems to conceal even more than it reveals. Jesus says, "Make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth. Again, what does Jesus mean by this? So this is exactly what the steward does in this parable that he tells. He makes friends with dishonest wealth. Who are the friends? Well, they're the debtors whose debts he writes off. So he makes friends in the deal. He helps these people who are in need, and they're going to be appreciative. What's the dishonest wealth that Jesus is referring to? He says, make friends with dishonest wealth. Well, the dishonest wealth is the fact that the steward was working with money that wasn't his. It was his master's. So that's why he's referred to as the dishonest steward, who's using wealth dishonestly in that he's doing something with it, even though it's not his. It's his master's. But Jesus says, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth so that when it fails, you may be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So the steward did something that's good here. So what was it? What's the good that the steward did? So one of the things that as we read the scriptures, one of the things that's really helpful, and I guess I'm trying to challenge myself to immerse myself more in the scriptures, and that would be a really good goal for all of us, just trying to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, reading the scriptures every day. So if we read Luke's gospel, we start to see a lot of themes. So one of the things I was thinking of as I was reading the story is just how we're told that the steward squanders his master's wealth. Well, we heard that same word last week in the gospel when it was the gospel of the prodigal son. When was that word used? Well, it was. Remember, the prodigal son took half of his inheritance. He took it early, so he had all of this money on hand, and he squandered it. And what did he do with it? What does that mean specifically? Well, he spent it all on himself, with prostitutes and high living and worldly pleasures. So he spent it all on himself. So that gives us a sense of why the rich man at the beginning of the story is displeased with his steward because he squandered his property. Well, what does that mean in the context of Luke's gospel? It means he spent it on himself. He had all of these assets to use, and he used it for himself. I was just thinking about this morning, actually. Earlier this summer, we had another gospel from almost all of our gospels right now are from Luke because we're in that Lucan year or the cycle of readings. Earlier this summer, we had another passage that is a little bit similar. We had this rich man who had incredibly abundant harvest, and he had all of this grain, and he didn't know what to do with everything that he had. So what did he do? He thinks to himself, what am I going to do with all of this? And then he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build myself more grain bins so I can store all of my grain, and then I'll be able to have an early retirement because I'll have so much that I don't need anymore. But then what happens at the end of the story? Well, Jesus says of this man, he says, you fool, for this very night your life will be demanded of you. And then what good do all of your grain bins and grain do? So it's interesting. Kind of, there's a little similarity here because you have this person with a dilemma because he has all of this stuff. What does he decide to do? Use it all for himself. And obviously that makes him very foolish. He was a fool for doing that. Here's the connection with this story. What does this guy have? Well, he still has all of his master's stuff. He's about to get fired, but he's not fired yet. So he still has all of his master's property. And then he thinks to himself, what am I going to do? He has this problem, and what's his solution? I'm going to give my master's stuff to others. I'm going to write off the debts of these other people, and I'm going to make some friends in the process. and his master is pleased with him. So here we have, there's an important juxtaposition here. One person uses this abundance of wealth just for himself, and he's called a fool. What does this other person do? He uses all of this wealth that has at his disposal to help those in need, to write off the debts of debtors, and he is seen to be wise. He's commended for doing that. Okay, so what does this have to do with you and me? Well, we are the steward in this story. Why do I say that? Well, because we have charge of assets. Money in our, and every one of us in this room. We might not have much, but we have some. Some money in our pocket, maybe some in our bank account. Might have some property, maybe we own a business, maybe we have investments or a 401k, maybe we've been really blessed in this area. Part of the point of this story is to remind us that it's not ours. Why is that? Well, because the only reason we have it is because God has given it to us. We might say, well, I've worked really hard for this. I've been a really responsible person. Well, there are a lot of responsible people who have fallen into bad luck and have very little. Whatever we have is simply because that's the way that God has blessed us. And so Jesus, first of all, is helping us to see that all of the wealth that we have is what he calls dishonest wealth. Why is it dishonest? Well, because it's actually not ours. It's God's. And he's given it to us as a stewardship now to use prudently. And so how does God want us to use what we've been given? Well, he doesn't want us to squander it like the prodigal son did in last week's gospel, like earlier this summer the rich man does, by only thinking about himself in terms of his wealth. That's squandering. The rich man who does that is called a fool. He can't take that money with him when he dies. What does God want us to do? Well, he says, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you may be welcomed into eternal dwellings. In other words, we're getting to the meaning here. Give generously to the poor. Make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, in other words, so that when we die, when our money no longer does us any good, our investments that we made during the course of our life will pay off. Why? Because all of those people are going to now welcome us into heaven. Next week, we're going to hear the gospel of the rich man and Lazarus. This is a major theme throughout Luke. So this whole year, so many of our readings have done with riches and wealth and such. If you remember the story of rich man and Lazarus, the rich man lives in this sumptuous, huge palace, a huge home, and Lazarus lives out in his gutter. And every day, the rich man has to step over Lazarus as he comes and goes, but never helps him in any way. So he'll hear this next week, but then at the end of the story, they both die. Where does Lazarus end up? In the home of Abraham. And where does the rich man, if Lazarus ends up, the poor man ends up in the home of Abraham, the rich man ends up outside of the home. He didn't help Lazarus during his life, so he's not going to be welcomed now by Lazarus in the next life. I just think about a saint who I think really exemplifies the meaning of this parable, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who died when he was just a young man. He's in his early 20s. He is from Turin in northern Italy. He's from a very wealthy family. His dad was a senator and owned one of the major newspapers in Italy. And Pier Giorgio had a real heart for the poor. So he would walk to school or walk to get together with his friends, and he would see someone without a coat, so he would give them his coat. Or he would see somebody without adequate shoes and he would give them his shoes. And it drove his parents nuts because he was constantly coming home and needing more spending money so that he could buy himself, or that he needed for to get from them more clothing because he was giving all of his away. So he contracts tuberculosis, dies at a very young age. And at his funeral, thousands of people showed up. And his parents were shocked. And they weren't his parents' wealthy friends. Who were they? They're all the poor people who he had helped, whose lives he had touched. People lined the streets of his funeral procession. Poor people. Jesus says in the gospel today, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you may be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus is really giving us here the key to think about our wealth, the ways that God has blessed us, and that includes whether we have a lot or whether we just have a little. If we think of it as our own and use it just for ourselves, we're this steward who squanders his property and gets fired. But if we use what we have to give to those who are in need, we'll be making friends for ourselves with our dishonest wealth, which isn't ours to begin with, so that when it fails, when we come to the end of our life, instead of being shut out, we'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings because we will have invested our money wisely, not in ourselves, but in others who will be so happy to welcome us into our eternal dwelling in heaven.